On RN, it's hello from David Rutledge, and welcome to this week's edition of Encounter. Christmas is upon us. The tree is up, the presents are bought, and the food's prepared. For some people, but not for all Australians. This week we'll look at the religious festivities that occur around this time of year and what people of different faiths do on Christmas Day. We also ask members of Jewish and Muslim communities how far they're prepared to participate in a Christian festival. If you're not Christian, is it okay to dress up as Santa, or to have a tree, or to send Christmas cards to friends? We'll be going to a nativity play where they serve halal sausages and talking with a Jewish mother about her daughter's excited expectations of Santa's visit. It's a contemporary snapshot of an Australian Christmas, and the producer is Kerry Stewart.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday.
I think the idea of happy holidays is a sense of everybody celebrating at this time. I think it's a lot more inclusive and everybody can be part of it. And, you know, whether your holiday is a week earlier or a week later, we're all in a festive sort of mood and season, and therefore I think it's a lovely concept. Sure, within your own religion or your own circle, you would say a happy Hanukkah or a Merry Christmas, but I think generally as an Australian society, we're more inclusive.
We can say, have a great break, or have a lovely summer, because our summer coincides with Christmas holidays. But for most people, it's not actually about Christmas or one day. It is about the big summer break we have. So I think it's a strange thing that we say Merry Christmas. I think Happy Holidays makes more sense, but a lot of people are not just disinterested, but actively disliking it, because they think it's a signifier of political correctness and the beginning of the end of being able to celebrate Christmas at school and so forth.
For my Christian friends, I always make sure that I give them a call, I send them an SMS, and also I send them a Christmas card, and I have done this for many years. This is a festive season. I know it is of great importance in people's faith and also family interaction. And I'd like to share their festivity. And if I may say, a Merry Christmas to all your listeners, regardless if they are Christians, Muslims, or any other faith, we all can share in this festive season.
Christmas, Joseph.
Kerry, hi. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you very much.
And welcome.
Hello.
This is my daughter, Joy.
Hello, Joy.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, you've lost your voice, you poor thing.
I
Merry Christmas.
I was out too late last night in the cold air.
We go this way?
We're going to go straight in.
Okay.
To the kitchen, because the centre of Christmas so often is food and drink.
And behind your front door, I noticed there was a wreath as well. So it's on the inside,
well,
your wreath.
Yes, we actually do celebrate Christmas on the inside all year round. So that stays there the whole time unless someone slams that door.
Christmas Day and Boxing Day are public holidays in Australia, reflecting our cultural and religious history. But the religious landscape has changed dramatically. In the last census, just over 60% of our population said they were Christian. 20% declared they had no religion, and nearly 10% didn't answer the question. The remaining 10% have their own religious festivals that are influenced by a lunar calendar rather than just a solar one, meaning sometimes they also fall in December, like Hanukkah. Nursin Kisten migrated from South Africa as a child with his family to escape apartheid, and is now the pastor at the Salvation Army in the Western Sydney suburb of Auburn.
Christmas is a public holiday in Australia, and most of the faith groups that gather in this community obviously don't celebrate that day. So it's interesting to see in that in our local community that nothing closes on Christmas Day. Australia characterises itself as a Christian country, and so Christmas is a very significant day for us as a nation. I think it reminds us of who we are as a nation, the values we as a nation hold. If you went to another part of the world, if you went to Indonesia or around Ramadan, around the iftar, there would be public holidays. And there are Christians who are living in another parts of the world who will have the same challenges we have in Australia. So I don't think it's for us to try and... Sometimes we can be try to become accommodating of all things. I think it's so critical for us to remain who we are and maintain our identity.
In Australia, because Christmas and Easter, of course, are recognised public holidays, it puts at an immediate disadvantage anyone who does not come from that faith. Now, I know as a manager in my own workplace, it is a very multicultural, multilingual workforce, and I'm very proud of that. But I also know that it is unfair when the Muslim employees have to request and explain and plead for a day off so they can celebrate their two major festivals or Eids each year. So we've tried to make life a bit more comfortable for them so they don't need to apologise for requesting a day off. And it's a very workable, functional business model because it also means that around Christmas time, when people like myself may need some time off, people who don't necessarily celebrate Christmas are quite happy to work, and it's a two-way street. And similar with some of our Buddhist or Hindu employees, they all understand that, you know, it's a merry-go-round and it's quite merry, and it really works a lot better for all of us.
Last Christmas, there was a hiccup between Muslim and Christian communities because the imam at the Lakemba Mosque in Sydney was said to have put a fatwa on saying Merry Christmas or participating in any way in the festivities. Dr. Jamal Riffi is a community leader living and practicing medicine in southwestern Sydney.
Unfortunately, last year, during the Friday prayer just before Christmas, I was at Lakemba Mosque on the Friday. I was stunned when I heard the imam at that time uttering some words that really I did not agree with. And he said, celebrating Christmas and wishing other people a Merry Christmas, this is not the Muslim way. I felt he was wrong the way he talked about it. At that time, if he mentioned that for kids, let's say, who are in shopping centers and they want to take their pictures with Santa Claus, he should have allowed people the liberty of separating. The fact that the kids are taking their picture with Santa Claus and it has nothing to do with them not believing or believing in Jesus and that sort of things. So there is the cultural aspect of it and the participations of that. It does not mean they are less Muslim than anyone else. And also made the comment about greeting Christians and wishing them a Merry Christmas. And I felt really not happy about it because me as a Muslim, when I have my own festivities, why someone else will be much more polite than myself and he wishes me a happy Eid and come to visit us at Lakemba Mosque while we can't say a Merry Christmas or visit them at their home to share their festivities. So if it is all right for them to wish me a happy Eid, I have no doubt it is all right for me to wish them a Merry Christmas. They remain as Christian as before, and I remain as Muslim as before, and it does not impact on my strengths of belief.
The fatwa that was posted the next day on the website of the Lebanese Muslim Association, which manages the Lakemba Mosque, was a quote written by a sheikh who lived in the distant past in a distant land. So how relevant are historical statements like this to Australian Muslims today? Dr. Ibrahim Abu Muhammad, the Grand Mufti of Australia.
هو مش كل اللي قالوه الأئمة زمان غلط ومش كل اللي قالوه برضو ينفع لهذا الزمن لكن أغلب ما قالوا حاجات بتتناسب مع الحياة العامة في أي جيل وفي أي عصر.
Not all what has been said in the past is wrong, and not all what has been said in the past can be implemented nowadays, because the circumstances has changed, so we are allowed and it's lawful for us to find out what is the best according to the modern and recent circumstances, and to live your time. One of the major principles of the Islamic teachings is to live your time and to understand the environment surrounding you. So we can find out the right solutions for the challenges that are facing us according to the need. And this is, by the way, was happening in the past. So the Imams in the past, they were not all agreeing and approving the same fatwa. They have this type of differences, and we have the right to be diverse from them as well, according to the environment surrounding us.
In Australian Muslim community, there was an outrage that the biggest mosque in New South Wales and the Imam will make such a statement, the biggest and the most respected religious organization will place on its Facebook and website such a statement. Now, to their credit, they have realized what have happened and they have immediately deleted that segment. I was extremely surprised because the Imam who said it, that's not his style of living, that's not his style of expression. I reckon it was a lapse of judgments at that time. Now, I have no doubt that our religious leaders have learned from what's happened. And look, it was an aberration of our way of thinking, but it is something that we all have learned, that we should not make such a mistake again. Now, yes, there will be some firebrand religious leaders saying these things, but these usually at the margin, they're not listened to. I believe the Lebanese Muslim Association wanted, as a responsible organization, to stem the damaging comments that were taking place at that time, and they hired a plane, and the plane, through its smoke, wrote Merry Christmas above the Lakimba skies, and that was a really touching gesture.
Joseph Wakeham is a Maronite Christian. He came to Australia from Lebanon when he was a young child and now writes on human rights issues.
It was a really strange event last Christmas. We happened to be visiting my parents' home and I had just walked in the door and there was some news beaming out of the big TV screen and my siblings were calling me over saying, look at this, check this out. Apparently there's been a fatwa declared that you cannot wish Christians a Merry Christmas if you're a true Muslim. And I was staring at the screen and trying to understand where this was coming from, you know, because all my life my Muslim friends had absolutely no problem in greeting us, visiting us on Christmas and vice versa. And, you know, the biggest irony is that as I was watching the screen, there was a knock at the door. And a gentleman was obviously there, and I could barely make out his silhouette. And it looked to me like Santa. I saw this bag, I saw this man, and I saw this beard. This was through an opaque window. And when the door was opened, it was a dark African gentleman who I did not even know. And he came in bearing gifts. He might as well have said, ho, ho, ho. He walked inside. His name was Ahmed. Now, Ahmed was the most beautiful human being who looked after my father. He was a carer for my father in his last years before he passed away from Alzheimer's. So I get a lump in my throat thinking about this beautiful moment. And I'm thinking, here is this TV screen telling us that Muslims are really a set apart from Australia and they're so divisive and disruptive. That was two-dimensional. And here was this three-dimensional human being walking into the home of my mother to wish her Merry Christmas, to pay respects to her, and he looked more like Santa than any Santa I'd ever seen. And I thought, wow, this is a really powerful moment that, you know, don't generalize about all Muslims based on one little thing. Don't leap to that stupid conclusion, oh, this is typical Muslims. And I'm so glad that the leaders within the Muslim community were so swift in putting the whole thing into factual perspective. They literally wrote in the sky, Merry Christmas from all of us. We have no problem with Christmas. And perhaps had that happened 20 years ago, leaders might have handled it differently, poorly. But it was something where the fire was snuffed out very quickly. And I think the real fire was in the heart of people like Ahmed, and there are thousands like him.
How'd you like to spend Christmas? on Christmas Island.
At that time, I was planning to travel to Nauru with the Imam of the Kingsgrove Mosque. Being the festive season, we felt that in Nauru there is a lot of refugees detained in Nauru of the Christian faith. They will go through their festive season. We didn't want the Muslim one to feel that they are not participating in that festivities, or they feel like they are left out. And we felt the best way we could do this is to take with us some Christmas cards. And we took 400 Christmas cards, and there was a lot of Iraqi Muslims, a lot of Iranian Muslims. And when they knew that we have Christmas cards with us, each one of them, they wanted 20, 25, 30 Christmas cards themselves. And they needed to write best wishes and give it to other detainees of the Christian faith. But to my surprise, they wanted to give it to also to the security who were controlling the compound, because they felt that the security, they were treating them as a human being. And also to give that to the Department of Immigration officers. And that was extremely surprising to me.
My name is Fatma Muhammad, and I live in Auburn. My religion is Islam. My ancestry are Somali, but I was born in Kenya. And I live in Australia now. So that, you know, is such a blend of cultures, I feel.
Now, you've just won Citizen of the Year here in Auburn. So why do you work with refugees?
The refugee community is part of who I am. My grandparents were refugees, and I still have fond memories of all the stories from my granddad. And since coming to Australia, I've had the real privilege of meeting a lot of refugees from different countries, different continents. And Auburn especially is where most of the refugees end up, in Sydney area. And 20 years ago, we started the Somali Women Group that's still going now, getting stronger, in fact. For new arrivals, everything's a bit scary for them. For some of them, it's like landing on a new planet altogether. The first thing that a new arrival will talk about is their faith and how they want to connect with that religion. But you can see that gradually, as they live in the community, gradually as they see the freedom of faith in this country, the freedom of just being who you are, the freedom of getting involved with other people, they find homes and they become part of the community, and therefore becoming part of that community allows them to celebrate with everybody else and understand, yeah, this is what I have during my festival, and my faith and my neighbor or my group are celebrating today. So it just becomes part of the normal life in Auburn.
Have yourself a merry little...
You're listening to an encounter called Happy Holidays on RN.
Your heart be light.
The responses to and participation in Christmas celebrations by Jewish and Muslim communities are as diverse as the people within them.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
I'm Sharon Burton, and I was raised in a secular environment with a Jewish background. There was Yiddish spoken to me by my grandparents, and I understand quite a bit of it. And I know where my ancestors are from, I understand my heritage, but I would refer to myself, or I see myself, as more of a cultural Jewish person.
So what was Christmas like as a child for you?
When I was a kid in state primary school, I used to dread returning after every summer, because we'd always get asked, and what did you get for Christmas? And I was left with a choice: make up a story to be left alone, or tell them the truth and be faced with blank stares or strange responses such as, what? Or if they did understand that we didn't have Christmas, ripped off. So I generally just made something up so it was a quick end to the exchange. That was better than bothering to explain, because a lot of people didn't really understand, because everyone has Christmas, don't they?
Hi, I'm Rabbi Mendel Castell, a Jewish rabbi, if you like. I'm the CEO at Jewish House, which is a crisis centre. It's a centre to help people who are going through crisis. We're a non-denominational charity, so we help everybody. It doesn't matter what background they're from, what religion. We're here to help them and provide them with support. I'm a chaplain to a number of major hospitals in the Sydney area. And Christmas Day is an interesting day because, as a Jew, it's really not a festival day. But at the same time, as an Australian, as part of the community, it's an opportunity to recognize that other people are celebrating. On one hand, to be able to relieve some of the emergency pressures that might be on other organizations. So, for instance, Jewish House being able to provide support when other charities might be closed on the day. Or, you know, as a police chaplain, you know, I can put on my police uniform and go around some of the stations and bring around some cupcakes or some donuts, etc., to spend some time with the police who need to spend that time protecting us in the community. So it's really a special day where I can step in and be part of the community.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Kisten. I'm part of the Salvation Army. I've been here with my husband for 10 years leading the church here at Auburn. And Christmas is an important time of year in terms of the Christian calendar, but also as us Australians coming together. The community here at Auburn is a richly diverse community made up of many people from different cultures and nationalities. There's a wide range of religions, and people think of it as being a diverse community that there'd be lots of divisions, but the community actually gathers together.
I'm Nurse Kisten. I work at the Salvation Army at Auburn. I'm one of the church leaders here, a pastor.
And so describe your preparations for Christmas this year.
Preparations for Christmas each year is quite significant. It is significant because we are a really poor and marginalised community, and so many people find it hard to get all the things that most Australians enjoy and take for granted. So in terms of preparing for hampers, our team busily works from 3 months prior to Christmas in the lead up, also from the fact that many children will not have toys. So we will build our network of resources to generate toys, have sufficient toys to give out to the kids, as well as our Christmas at the park, which is a real significant event.
Volunteering is an important part of the Aussie way of life, I find. We used to do a lot of volunteering in other countries in Africa, but we didn't see it as volunteer work. But here you've got a name to it, and I think it's important for us to everybody to give time to volunteering. Most of the voluntary work I've done during Christmas time is delivering hampers, and it's such an important role that the charity groups, you know, you get these hampers and you're given, you know, 10 homes to deliver to, and it's such a privilege. I find that you go knock at the door Christmas Day, the people are there, whoever's there, and the welcome you get and come in, you know, they want to share the food with you, and it's just amazing. They want you to be part of that Christmas with them. So yeah, I think volunteering and Christmas time is a great time.
And these people who are receiving the hampers aren't Christian necessarily, are they?
The beauty is the hampers is for everybody, regardless of what religion you are. It's a matter of us volunteers delivering, making sure that each family gets one, and especially the young people, the kids.
In Lebanese culture, one of the absolute no-nos is you never say we have no space. Even in the original Christian story of Joseph, who I'm honored to be named after, you know, when Joseph was looking for a place for Jesus to be born, that's exactly what he was told in Bethlehem when he knocked on door after door. Sorry, we have no space. There is no room at the inn. And so when it came to the Lebanese culture, when people knock on your door uninvited, it is unheard of to say, sorry, we have no space. On the contrary, we're supposed to say, even if there is no room on the table, I will put you in my heart. Even if there is no bed for you to sleep in, I will put you in my heart. Or the Arabic expression is ahlan wa sahlan. Feel at home as part of our family.
So this Christmas, are you inviting people into your home?
We always do. The doorbell does keep ringing and we have people invited or uninvited of all different religions. As well as that, you know, we'd also like to go to the park. And on the park bench, you quite often find people are alone. And, you know, we are going to have some leftover food. And it'd be fantastic to offer it to a perfect stranger and to give the gift of presence, to be with someone rather than the presence with the TS at the end. Just that being with people, and particularly being with people who are, if I may use the expression, Christmas islands. You know, they're on their own and they're drifting and they're isolated. It just is such a nice treat on that day. So it's a wonderful tradition to maintain, not just on Christmas Day, but to maintain it long after. And we've had some traditions whereby we might, for example, pick up the guitar. We're a very musical family, as you can tell by the names, you know, Grace, Michelle and Joy. And we'd often pick up the guitar and do carols. We'd do it to homeless people and so forth.
I wish you had the guitar here now.
We could organise that.
Could you?
We sure could.
Okay, terrific.
This time of the year is an interesting time of the year because a lot of families who are dysfunctional, unfortunately, the dysfunction raises its head and, you know, they try and push each other to sit around the table or you must come for dinner or why didn't you come for dinner? And a lot of old wounds sort of surface. And in cases, people leaving home and ending up homeless or other conflicts. So it is a difficult time and part of the work that we do is to be able to restore families and to create boundaries and expectations so that those sort of wounds and concerns don't continue to raise their heads. Particularly, we have a lot of dealings with parents and teenagers, where the parents expect certain things from teenagers, teenagers expect certain things from parents, teenagers think that they're doing what the parents want, and the parents don't think so, obviously. Or the parents think they're doing what teenagers want, but the expectations and the boundaries and a real understanding and respect for each other are seriously lacking.
The story of Jesus is obviously well documented with the Muslim. For us, Jesus is a prophet, just like the many prophets we have. So he's an important part of Islam too. The message on the birth of Jesus for me is, I suppose, about peace, about respect, about relationship, and about everybody getting together. And when Christmas comes along, it's the holiday season. For us, urban Christmas is a really celebration time. It starts off second week of December. We've got the Christmas tree go up. Usually it's a function where the mayor comes and lights the Christmas tree. It doesn't matter who the mayor is, because I think the last three mayors we have, they haven't been Christians. They come from different cultures and different religion. That starts the real festivities on, and we've got a stage out there in Central. Everybody dances to the music, the Christmas carols. We've got Father Christmas turns up at Auburn Central. We've got the big celebration out in the park, the Salvation Army. Everybody comes to that. So Christmas time is really exciting in Auburn.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Can you describe what you said to your children about Christmas when they were young, when they asked about Santa and getting presents and what other children might have spoken about?
I don't remember what my son asked me when he was in kindergarten. I think he was just interested in doing whatever was going, because the childcare centres these days are very inclusive and they do a lot of different things. They do the Christmas things and sometimes do something for Diwali and for Hanukkah. And so I think my son was not paying all that much attention. But my daughter, only a year or two ago, was very, very excited about Santa coming to her home and would come home from kinder and all the talk about what Santa's bringing everybody and say, I can't wait for Santa to come to my house. And that's when I realised I'd have to come up with some sort of plan and be able to explain it to her without ruining it for everyone else. Because as you know, five-year-olds will repeat whatever they're told. And I just told her that our family doesn't celebrate Christmas. Jewish people have Hanukkah instead. But then I was still in a bit of a bind because I wasn't very traditional and I didn't go to synagogue and I didn't have anything to really give her in its place. But a middle ground had to be found, and I think we've pretty much found it now. And coming back to what I would say to my daughter, she asked me, when is Santa coming to our house? And I said, he's not coming. And I had to be very delicate about this because she said to me, doesn't Santa like Jewish people? And that, it was an interesting moment. How was I going to get out of that one without making anyone look bad? So I told her that Jewish people are not on Santa's map, and that we will do something else instead. And what we do in conjunction with the grandparents is have a little gathering for Hanukkah. My mother and her partner every year have the kids over for an afternoon tea and give them little things that they've put away during the year, and some of them not so little. And so they feel as though they're doing something special for the grandchildren. So for us, Hanukkah is pretty much that, not much else. We don't really light candles at home. It's something we can start doing now that my daughter understands a little bit more. She's doing religious education at school, and so she is learning about the traditions.
Hi, happy Hanukkah. My name's Natalie, and I work for Network. We are the young adult constituent of the Shalom Institute. And what we're doing today, because it's the first day of Hanukkah, we're standing at Avenue on Chifley and we're handing out donuts and also giving out coffee to engage young Jewish adults and just to really, you know, bring some happiness and fun to this amazing holiday.
What is Hanukkah for you?
So Hanukkah is the festival of light, and I guess for me, being more of a traditional Jew, it's all about eating oily foods and being with family, and we light the menorah, and it's really just about family togetherness and celebrating light. That's, I guess, what it is for me.
And how about growing up here in Australia where it's a public holiday, Christmas Day?
Yeah.
So how was that for you?
Christmas Day is a fun day. We all go down to the beach. You know, it's a public holiday. We all usually have lunches. And I think it's just, we live in a multicultural society. It's about embracing other people's cultures and their Christmas and what it means for them. And we can still enjoy it. But, I mean, we don't get presents and everything like that. But this is our little celebration that we have.
So can I have a donut, please?
Of course.
Thank you. I see a jam one there. Look, okay. Looks very tasty.
Yeah, that's my favourite.
Sur Yeshuati Lechana Elishabeach.
I think the Jewish children are a bit spoiled because we have Hanukkah for 8 days, so we get presents for 8 days. So I don't think Jewish children are so jealous of the Christian children. It might go the other way around. But the opportunity for kids to be aware of the surroundings, the community that they live in, I think is important. I think they need to know what's going on, what people are celebrating, why they're celebrating. And knowing this gives us the opportunity to be able to respect each other and the opportunity to be a much more harmonious community.
When my kids were young, I don't believe that they felt they are left out. But they did participate with the neighbors in the festivities, and they knew that we have our special times as Muslims, and there is our neighbors who have their special time as Christians. We interacted this time, and the same as when we had our festivity, other kids, we made sure that they participate and they didn't feel left out, the same for our kids.
Nelson and I really take it as a privilege to be invited to other people's festivals. My kids are very aware of all of the different religions. Even within this church, there are people who come here who are Muslims, who are Hindus, who are Buddhists. They come here for assistance, they come here for fellowship and friendship.
Christmas time can be very commercial, with lots of toys and expectations. So how do you stop that from being the most important thing and bring the spiritual into your life instead?
Nelson and I have four children, and Christmas can be a very commercial time, and as a parent I am aware of the pressures that come from society for kids to have everything you can afford and so much more. With our children, we try and give them a really well-balanced perspective on life. They are very aware that the reason that we celebrate Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Jesus and the hope that he brings. The other thing is they're very aware of social issues in the community because we work in such and live in such a socially disadvantaged community. Our kids are hanging around with people and meeting people who are refugees, who have nothing and are very aware of that. And my little daughter was talking about the bushfires at preschool, and so the preschool said, well, what can we do? And Faith was suggesting, well, let's get gifts for the kids who lost their homes. And so now the whole preschool has gathered, and there's a whole basket of toys. So we're trying to teach our kids from a very young age that there are people who have nothing and there is something that you can do.
Joy is named after the song. My wife and I named after the song Joy to the World, the Christmas carol indeed. So that's how much it's central to our family and to our lives. Joy loves going to midnight mass, not only because of the external bits of the colour, the magic, the clothes, but that whole sense of family and community. You know, when you have something special, it's so good to celebrate it. And so Joy wouldn't miss it for the world, regardless of how tired she was. I think as Maronites, we should feel very humbled and honoured that not only are we sustaining a very strong tradition, but that probably more than a lot of other Christian origins in the world, that we hail from the Holy Lands themselves. We know that Jesus went to South Lebanon. He was born, as some would say, down the road from us. We speak a Semitic language, we speak Arabic. A lot of our church liturgy is done in Aramaic, which is one of the languages spoken by Jesus himself. These are things that are sacred and holy, and just as Arabic is a sacred language for Muslims, we also have sacred languages, sacred traditions, and things that have a direct connection, direct lineage to Jesus himself. That is such a humbling and powerful reminder, and I think at times we need to be careful not to take that for granted.
Christmas at Auburn Park is one of the most amazing scenes you possibly could have. If you've never been to the Middle East, or you've never been to that reenactment of that day, well, we see that in Auburn Park because we have Mary sitting on the donkey and Jesus being carried as a baby. We see the camels with the wise men. We see the sheep and the shepherds, and we reenact that scene, which is so, so powerful, because it's one thing to talk about a story. It's another thing to see it. There's another thing to smell and to experience that atmosphere in a tangible way. We also try and present it with a spirit of generosity. We're generous with the people that come to the park in terms of entertainment and fun. We want to bless this community. And so there's thousands of people. It's like feeding the 5,000. It's just amazing. People from all over the place, all sorts of faces from the globe, the four different continents of the world, all coming together and gathering at the park.
And what do you feed them, the 5,000?
Well, you know, we don't feed them the fishes and the loaves that Jesus did, but we get somewhat close. So it's that beautiful barbecue, the Aussie barbecue with a sausage sandwich and a drink. And a lot of the people that will attend our gathering at the park obviously will be from different faiths and different cultural backgrounds. So we need to be culturally aware. So these sausages won't be your typical Australian beef sausages. They're halal sausages because it is important for us to respect different cultures and religions, and we do so.
احنا بنوجه الشكر الى كل من يهتم بالمهاجرين الجدد.
I would like to convey my deep thanks and appreciation of the noble work that different organizations are doing to ease the suffering of these refugees and trying to integrate them inside the community, and especially the Salvation Army and all these types of celebrations or festivals they are doing. We appreciate a lot and we thank them a lot for bringing them the joyful and happy moments.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Christmas extravaganza at Auburn Park. Are you having a good time? Are you having fun?
And they don't feel like their own faith is being compromised, or you're trying to convert them by showing the story of Jesus' birth?
Well, you know, we celebrate Christmas with all different faith groups, just as we celebrate Ramadan and we attend the iftar with our Muslim brothers and sisters. There is no fear of conversion or that we're trying to beat them into submission. See, Jesus came not to condemn other faiths and religions. He came to bring a message of salvation. It's not one that we shove down people's throats, because that's not salvation. That's a message of coercion and manipulation. People need to freely receive and freely accept. The message of Jesus that we bring and that we share with all people is not something that we shy away from. It is who we are. Just as my Muslim brothers and sisters share their faith and talk about Ramadan and talk about the various five pillars of Islam, which I love to listen to and hear, I think as Christians we shouldn't be ashamed or concerned. Sometimes I think it's really quite bizarre that we decide that we won't talk about Christmas or promote the message of Christmas in an attempt not to offend other people. But most religious leaders that I speak to are more offended by people who don't speak about their faith. When we dismiss who we are, dismiss the values that we bring, I think the world is a poorer place.
Don't really have a relationship with Jesus. You know, it's obviously part of tradition, and communities celebrate in the way they do. But from a Jewish perspective, we don't really have a direct relationship with Jesus in a day-to-day sort of life.
So who are Jews for Jesus then?
They're a Christian organization using a catchy phrase to try and convert Jews to Christianity.
Do you have any experience of them?
I've come across them where they're out trying to proselytize. They're probably a lot more militant in the United States, but they are here in Australia as well, and I think we need to know who they are and what they stand for so that we're aware. You know, just as we respect each other's religions and cultures, at the same time, I wouldn't be going around trying to convert Christians. I'm not especially comfortable with their approach.
So they were Jews and they converted to Christianity, is that right?
Some were Jews. Many of them were never Jewish. They used different tactics to try and encourage Jews, invite them back for Saturday to make it as if it's a Shabbat, particularly the Russian community. So I've got certain concerns with regards to some of their practices, but everybody's got the right to do what they do.
In the lounge room here, I noticed there's a big Christmas tree.
Oh, yes. It goes all the way to the ceiling. And the children really wanted something as grand as possible. But, you know, one of the most important things about the tree is that it must not overshadow the nativity scene at the bottom. So the Jesus, Mary, Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men are always prominent, and we find it's quite sad if that's missing, because the tree is merely meant to be a shelter but not overshadow the important part of the Christmas.
The nativity scene's beautiful. Where did you get it from?
Well, actually, that one there was made by my eldest daughter, Grace, when she was still at preschool, and it was sentimental. They're very small figurines, but we thought that having something handmade and built by her keeps the tradition alive much better than purchasing one. So the size for us doesn't matter. It's just the meaning that matters more.
My kids were interested enough, I might one day consider the idea of the Hanukkah bush, which is gaining momentum. My brother had one recently, and it's quite sweet. I mean, we take it all in good humour. It's not a serious thing. The Hanukkah bush is a small version of a tree, and it's hung with blue decorations and a Star of David on top, instead of a regular star or an angel, and little gifts are placed under that. We Gen Xer parents don't like to see our kids missing out, and I think the grandparents don't either. And so it's funny to see how things are evolving.
So what's it going to be, huh? You want your menorah or a candy cane? Christmas or Hanukkah? Don't worry about it, buddy, because in this house, you don't have to choose. Allow me to introduce you to a little something that I like to call Chrismica.
Chrismica?
That's right. It's a new holiday, Ryan, and it's sweeping the nation.
Hey, fellas, we got the tree.
Hey.
Or at least the living room, to allow me to elaborate. You see, for my father here, a poor, struggling Jew growing up in the Bronx, well, Christmas, it meant Chinese food in a movie. And for my mom over here, waspy McWasp, well, it meant a tree, it meant stockings and all the trimmings. Isn't that right?
We're very proud.
I'm not a wasp.
Sure you're not. Other highlights include 8 days of presents, followed by one day of many presents. So, what do you think?
We're coming to the concept of Chrismica, which is getting very big in America. It was a coin termed I can't find the origins of.
I think it was coined in the TV series The OC.
Was it? Okay. Mm. Sort of like Festivus on Seinfeld.
That's exactly right. That's right. So I don't know if you ever saw The OC, but it was young people from Orange County, and there was one secular Jewish teenager.
Okay, well, I think it's a great idea. Why not just blend the things and invent your own? So Chrismica is gaining momentum. It's more of an American thing where they tend to take more license with religious traditions because of so much interfaith marriage and blending that goes on. So Chrismica, perfect for people who can't decide. I think it's really sweet to take the nicest things and participate in them rather than say, right, we're going to forget one whole side of the family's past.
I'm not a big fan of blending festivals because I think what happens is in order to be able to try and blend it, you're sort of pulling out the bits. I'm even skeptical at times of prayers where you get organizations pulling together to try and do prayers and everybody pulling out their bits. So there are times to pray together and having a prayer that's acceptable to everybody. But at the same time, there are times for each religion to be able to be proud of what their particular religion is and keep all the bits in it.
I'm dreaming, dreaming of a white, white Christmas.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful shine.
Some of the most well-known Christmas songs were written by Jewish songwriters. Understandably, they mentioned snow, bells, and coming home, not Jesus. So where does one draw the line when participating in another religion's festivals? Rabbi Mendel Castell.
Everybody's got to make a living, so you might find Jewish people selling Christmas materials, making up Christmas carols, etc. So it's really a free society and everybody participates.
Dressing up as Santa?
There's been plenty of stories of Jewish people who dressed up as Santa. It's not my favorite, but I've seen a clip from the United States where Chabad traditionally goes out into the streets and there's some of these young rabbis who were in a mall meeting up with Jewish people, and they met up with Santa, and it turned out that the Santa was Jewish, so they got him to put on his phylacteries, his tefillin, in a Santa outfit. So you never know what you come across in today's world.
The Salvation Army is known for its brass band and its tambourines or timbrels. Here in Auburn, we have a very small brass band. There's 8 of us. We have a choir. We have several choirs, actually, but they're from different nations. So we have a choir that wants to call itself the Auburn Salvation Army Choir from Burundi, and they sing in Swahili. And what we do in our church for music is we have blended sort of worship. All of the different styles of music come together and we sing songs in English, but we also sing songs in cultural languages. So I can sing a song in Swahili, and I can sing a song in Hindi, and I can sing a song in Creole.
I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it.
What we discovered was that we weren't alone in sitting around at home on December 25, feeling like it was a quite anticlimactic day. The streets are barren, the shops are closed, all your friends are busy, or almost all your friends, except the ones who don't celebrate Christmas. And we discovered that everyone was in a similar situation, sitting at home doing nothing, thinking, gee, what a quiet day. And so we started up our own Christmas Day tradition, and that's what we laughingly call, inverted commas, Jewish Christmas. We now gather all our family friends together and in convoy find ourselves a nice spot out where there's a lot of trees, some sort of big park or semi-rural environment, and we pack up the kids and a stack of food and tables and chairs and sports equipment and picnic blankets and sweets and drinks and things, and we all get together for a Jewish Christmas.
And who else is there in the park?
Well, this is interesting because wherever we go, we look for barbecues, of course, and when we get there, it's always Jewish people and Indian people around the barbecue, which is really sweet. And we're all Australians, so you know what that means. It means that we play cricket.
Yes. I'm looking forward to Christmas, though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun.
That brings us to the end of this encounter on RN. Technical production today was by Judy Rapley. I'm Kerry Stewart, and I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas or a Happy Holiday with family, friends, and maybe even a stranger.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry, Merry Christmas to
join us next Saturday for Encounter as we kick off our summer season of highlight programs from 2013. First up, the teenage years. Adolescence is often represented as a time of turmoil and even danger, but it's also a time of emergent identity, and that has all sorts of emotional and psychological and spiritual manifestations. That's Encounter next Saturday at 5. Join us then.
If the destination is your imagination, then your journey starts at ABC Arts. Listen to Where It Takes You.
He was a child prodigy on the piano. His father.
Watch Where It Takes You.
There's so much going on around yes. the corners and in the background.
Yeah. Read Where It Takes You.
You feel as though you're being taken into something very secret and still and private.
Feel Where It Takes You.
Art which claims to take on the status quo.
Your journey starts at abc.net.au/arts.